your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 445. It is April 13, 2016. Well, before I introduce the lesson, I have to put this little announcement out to you. It's not an announcement, but an explanation. You might be hearing different sound levels and different sound qualities from day to day. I've been experimenting with different places whereby I can put this podcast out every day. I'm just trying some different things, so you'll be surprised to find out where I am today, but it just might be a good place. We will see. Well, formalist and hypocrisy have gone their way, and Christian goes his way. But by no means is the adventure over. As you have read, those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress know, this goes on and on, and he's going from place to place, and just like you and I, going in our lives from place to place, and the enemy coming against us, and we coming against the enemy. And walking with Jesus. It's an interesting adventure, isn't it? Well, let's finish Spurgeon's message, his final message on formalists and hypocrisy, and then we'll get back to Bunyan and see where they go next. Bunyan's next description of the pilgrim always interests me, says Spurgeon. He says, "Then I saw that they went on all, save that Christian kept before, who had no more talk but with himself," and that's that, sometimes sighingly and sometimes comfortably. "Well, I know that John Bunyan never saw me," says Spurgeon, "but he has sketched my portrait most accurately, for that is just the style in which I talk to myself, sometimes sighingly and sometimes comfortably. I look within and then I talk sighingly. And then I look away to Christ, and that enables me to talk comfortably. I look around, and I see all sorts of trials and troubles, and then I talk sighingly. Then I look up to my Father's love, and I talk comfortably. I look sometimes to some of the Lord's people who are not walking as they should, and then I talk sighingly. And then I think of the Lord's eternal purpose to present them faultless before the presence of His glory, and then I talk comfortably. A man passed me in the street the other day, talking to himself so loudly that I thought he was speaking to me. It's not always wise to do that. But still, as we go through the world, we might talk to worse people than ourselves. May I make a suggestion, as I know some friends who are very fond of talking. If they would not mind talking more to themselves, you know, the bad reputations of their neighbors would not be known quite so fast. And it would be quite as pleasant for themselves, I should think. Some people do love gossip and scandal, but it would be better if they would do as David did and pour out their soul in talking to themselves. Now, to talk about divine things to your own soul and to hold communion with your own heart upon your bed, it's a wise and blessed exercise. Well, after that, Bunyan goes on to say, "I beheld then that they all went on till they came to the foot of the hill Difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. There were also in the same place two other ways besides that which came straight from the gate. One turned to the left hand, and the other to the right, at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow way lay right up the hill, and the name of the going up the side of the hill is called Difficulty." Well, now comes the pinch. Christian has been through the Slough of Despond, so he's not afraid of climbing hill Difficulty. He's been to the foot of the cross and there lost his burden, so he stoops down and drinks at the spring and says, "By God's help, I will climb the hill Difficulty too." And perhaps it was a little persecution, or maybe it was some discord in the church. And perchance it was a loss in business, or it might have been some outward trial. But whatever it was, he braced himself for the trial. The true Christian ever says within himself, through floods and flames, if Jesus lead, I'll follow where he goes. But our friend formalist saw that there was another course open to him. He reasoned within himself that it really was preposterous that people should be put to any inconvenience for the sake of religion. We often hear young people talk about what an ordeal they have to go through without knowing what an ordeal really means. For to go through an ordeal was to walk barefooted over red-hot plowshares. So formalists said that he did not mind being religious when it was respectable and if it involved no giving up of fashionable parties or of marriage with an ungodly person. But when it brought down the anger of a father or the opposition of one's old companions, he said he could not endure that. So he would take the path that led to the left and wound around the bottom of the hill, difficulty. Then he would come up on the other side where he should find Christian coming down with as much difficulty as he went up. And then he would say to him, I've missed all this trouble, and yet I've come where you are, safe and sound. It was not so, however, for formalist went along the road called Danger, which led him into a great wood where he was completely lost. As for hypocrisy, he took the road called Destruction, which led him into a wide field full of dark mountains where he stumbled and fell and rose no more. I suppose this means that he went off into the wilds of sin. He said to himself, I've had enough of this kind of thing. If I'm going to be abused for the sake of religion or to lose my customers, I shall give it all up and do as others do. I shall take my ease and enjoy myself. I don't see why I should go on denying myself. And so, beginning with one worldly pleasure, he went on to another and another, and soon he fell and rose no more. The devil did not grow to be a devil in a day, and the worst of sinners do not become so all at once. A man may be a very decent-looking hypocrite for a long time. The horns and the hoofs may not peep out just yet. They grow by degrees and show themselves in due time. The course of rebellion against God may be very gradual, but it increases in rapidity as you progress in it. And if you begin to run down the hill, the ever-increasing impetus will send you down faster and faster to destruction. You Christians ought to watch against the beginning of worldly conformity. I do believe that the growth of worldliness is like strife, which is as the letting out of water. Once you begin, there's no knowing where you will stop. I sometimes get this question put to me concerning certain worldly amusements. May I do so-and-so? I'm very sorry when anyone asks me that question because it shows that there's something wrong or it would not be raised at all. If a person's conscience lets him say, well, I can go to A, he will very soon go on to B, C, D, E, and through all the letters of the alphabet. When thieves would rob our houses and find they cannot get in at the front door, they search for a little window at the back. And they put a small boy in there. As soon as he is in, he opens the door to the thieves, and the house is easily rifled. In so-called little sins, there's great mischief. When Satan cannot catch us with a big sin, he'll try a little one. It does not matter to him as long as he catches his fish, which bait he uses. Beware of the beginning of evil, for many who bade fair to go right have turned aside, perished amongst the dark mountains in the wide field of sin. It's sad to have to speak thus concerning formalists and hypocrisy, who were once as good a people to look upon as you and I now are, but who perished so miserably. God grant that we may be neither formalists nor hypocrites, but true pilgrims to Zion's city bound. And he shall have the praise and the glory, says Charles Spurgeon. All God's people say, amen, amen. Now we're not finished. No. I'm looking at my clock here. We're going back to Bunyan here. We're going to follow up where we left off before. Let me see here. Where was I before? Yeah. They came up to this hill, difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. And there were also in the same place two other ways beside that which came. Now, he's already talked about this, but he didn't give the exact words, and I want to be sure that I give you all of what Bunyan said, so let me give it all. Two other gates, two other ways. One turned to the left, the other to the right at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow way lay right up the hill, and the name of the going up the side of the hill is called Difficulty. Now, Christian now went to the spring and drank thereof to refresh himself, and then began to go up the hill, saying, "This hill, though high, I covet to ascend, but Difficulty will not me offend. For I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up, heart, let's neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe." The other two also came to the foot of the hill. But when they saw that the hill was steep and high, and that there were two other ways to go, and supposing also that these two ways might meet again with that which Christian went on the other side of the hill, therefore they were resolved to go in those ways. The name of the one was Danger, and he covered that territory. Well, I looked then after Christian to see him go up the hill, where I perceived he fell from running to going, and from going to clambering upon his hands and his knees because of the steepness of the place. Now, about the midway to the top of the hill was a pleasant arbor made by the Lord of the hill for the refreshment of weary travelers. Thither, therefore, Christian got, where also he sat down to rest him. Then he pulled his roll out of his bosom and read therein to his comfort. He also now began afresh to take a review of the coat or garment that was given him as he stood by the cross. Thus pleasing himself a while, he at last fell into a slumber, and thence into a fast sleep, which detained him in that place until it was almost night. And in his sleep, his roll fell out of his hand. Now, as he was sleeping, there came one to him and awaked him, saying, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." And with that, Christian started up and sped him on his way and went apace till he came to the top of the hill. Now, when he got to the top of the hill, there came two men running against him amain. The name of the one was Timorous, and of the other Mistrust, to whom Christian said, "Sirs, what's the matter? You run the wrong way." Timorous answered that they were going to the city of Zion and had got up that difficult place, but said he, "The farther we go, the more danger we meet with." Wherefore we turned and were going back again. "Yes," said Mistrust, for just before us lies a couple of lions in the way. Whether sleeping or waking, we don't know. And we could not think if we came within reach, but they would presently pull us in pieces." Then said Christian, you make me afraid. Whither shall I fly to be safe if I go back to my own country? That is prepared for fire and brimstone, and I shall certainly perish there. If I can get to the celestial city, I'm sure to be in safety there. I must venture. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death and life everlasting beyond it. I will yet go forward. And so Mistrust and Timorous ran down the hill, and Christian went on his way. But thinking again of what he had heard from the men, he felt in his bosom for his roll, that he might read therein and be comforted. But he felt and found it not. Then was Christian in great distress. He knew not what to do, for he wanted that which used to relieve him and that which should have been his pass into the celestial city. Here, therefore, he began to be much perplexed, and he knew not what to do. At last, he bethought himself that he had slept in the arbor that's on the side of the hill, and falling down upon his knees, he asked God forgiveness for that his foolish act, and then went back to look for his roll. But all the way he went back, who can sufficiently set forth the sorrow of Christian's heart. Sometimes he sighed, sometimes he wept, oftentimes he chid himself for being so foolish to fall asleep in that place which was erected only for a little refreshment from his weariness. Thus, therefore, he went back, carefully looking on this side and on that, and all the way as he went, if happily he might find the roll that had been his comfort so many times in his journey. He went thus till he came again in sight of the arbor where he sat and slept. But that sight renewed his sorrow the more, by bringing again, even afresh, his evil of sleeping into his mind. Thus, therefore, he now went on bewailing his sinful sleep, saying, "O wretched man that I am, that I should sleep in the daytime, that I should sleep in the midst of difficulty, that I should so indulge the flesh as to use that rest for ease to my flesh, which the Lord of the hill hath erected only for the relief of the spirits of pilgrims. How many steps have I took in vain?" Thus it happened to Israel for their sin. They were sent back again by the way of the Red Sea. And I'm made to tread those steps with sorrow, which I might have trod with delight, had it not been for this sinful sleep. How far might I have been on my way by this time? I'm made to tread those steps thrice over, which I needed not to have trod but once. Yea, now also I'm like to be benighted, for the day is almost spent. Oh, that I had not slept! Now by this time he was come to the arbor again, where for a while he sat down and wept. But at last, as Christian would have it, looking sorrowfully down under the settle, there he espied his roll, the which he, with trembling and haste, catched up and put into his bosom. Oh, but who can tell how joyful this man was when he had gotten his roll again? For this roll was the assurance of his life and acceptance at the desired haven. Therefore he laid it up in his bosom, gave thanks to God for directing his eye to the place where it lay, and with joy and tears betook himself again to his journey. But oh, how nimbly now did he go up the rest of the hill. Yet before he got up, the sun went down upon Christian. This made him again recall the vanity of his sleeping to his remembrance. And thus he again began to condole within himself, "O thou sinful sleep, how for thy sake am I like to be benighted in my journey? I must walk without the sun. Darkness must cover the path of my feet, and I must hear the noise of doleful creatures because of my sinful sleep." Now also he remembered the story that Mistrust and Timorous told him of how they were frighted with the sight of the lions. Then said Christian to himself again, "These beasts range in the night for their prey, and if they should meet with me in the dark, how should I shift them? How should I escape being by them torn in pieces?" And thus he went on his way. But while he was thus bewailing his unhappy miscarriage, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was a very stately palace before him, the name of which was Beautiful. And it stood just by the highway side, and right there is where Mr. Spurgeon will pick it up, Lord willing, next time. Thank you so much for taking a part of your day to share these wonderful truths together. I would like to remind you that we have a bookstore available. Would you go to the bookstore? I think I talked about that yesterday. Let's talk about this. When you're contacting me, you can ask a question, suggest a topic for study. We're going through the book of Genesis. We really are, but we're taking a long break from it. Yes, I've still gone and continued my way through Genesis. I'm asking many questions. I have many for you to share with you when I'm ready to go back there. I might take a Spurgeon break one of these days and go back to the questions, but we'll see. But or you can ask a question of your own from Genesis, or send a prayer request, or just say hi. I love hearing from you. You can use the contact information that's right there on the website. God bless you today. Don't forget where we started. 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Bye-bye.